Since the dawn of time, mankind has embarked on an endless quest for knowledge. Now, the time has come for players to put their intellect to the test in the ultimate mental arena where only the most cerebral among us will emerge victorious. This is Literal Genius.
It is May 2022. Welcome to Literal Genius, the trivia quiz show for only the most cerebral connoisseurs of popular culture. I am your quizmaster, John Norton, and competing this month, we have two players who have spent years duking it out, both of them dying to finally once and for all claim ultimate bragging rights. So we're going to settle things the only civilized way possible with a one-on-one match in pop culture trivia. On my left, husband, father, and unofficial president of the Better Off Dead fan club, it is Scott. And on my right, she's a recent grad school graduate and still plays the Titanic soundtrack on a daily basis. It's Joni. Now, Scott, this war has been going on between two of you for crazy amounts of time at this point. I mean, Scott, you know you're better trivia than Joni, right?
I don't think it stops at trivia, but yeah, with war of words, tumult of opinions, we know how to go toe-to-toe. It's good times.
And Joni, you know you're better trivia than Scott.
I think that when you know that you're better at something, you really don't need to have to justify it through things like this. I feel like this is a little bit beneath me, but, you know, I'm humoring Scott here a little bit. He's a good guy. A little dumb, but nice.
They are going to be with me here for the entire month of May, and by the end of this month, we are going to have a definitive answer, clearly, who is superior at trivia. So let's kick things off with round one. Round one is our general knowledge round. So I'm going to present you guys three categories that in some way or another tie into the mystery topic of the week. That's right. At this point in the show, you guys at home know what our topic for this week is because it's the name of the episode, but these guys do not. We're going to alternate every week. This week, Scott, you're in the hot seat. So you have the choice between these three categories. They are Magical Men, Honey, I'm Holmes, and Trust Me, I'm a Fake Doctor.
I think I'm going to go with Magical Men.
I knew it.
1 point for correct answer, 1 point for a steal. We'll start with you, Scott. Scott, question number one. This magic man and endurance artist rose to prominence with his Street Magic video series and has since gone on to perform feats such as freezing himself in a block of ice and catching a bullet in his mouth.
Is this Harry Houdini?
No, I'm sorry, it is not. Joni, early chance to steal and go into the lead.
I'm fairly sure I know who you're talking about, and I'm going to hear his name and go, dang it. But I can't remember his name either.
Well, you're going to hear his name when I say it. It's David Blaine. David Blaine.
I knew it.
And for all of you playing at home, this is what we call the easy question. It's number one. Question number one. Only the most famous musician literally on the planet Earth right now. But that's fine.
Penn and Teller are up there.
All right. Well, Scott, I wouldn't say too much because we're moving on to question number two. And this time we start with Joni. Joni, this pair of magicians first performed together at the 1975 Minnesota Renaissance Festival. I'm not sure I really have to finish the question at this point, but I just will. Because I wrote it, you know, and it put some effort into this. And have since gone on to headline the Las Vegas Strip and host numerous television shows, including their most recent, Fool Us.
Can I just say what Scott said?
Yeah, good enough. That's Penn and Teller. 1 point for Joni. All right, Scott, back over to you. Question number three. Sharing a name with a novel by Charles Dickens, this illusionist not only made the Statue of Liberty disappear on national television, but made Claudia Schiffer disappear from his life when he divorced her in 1999.
Who is Oliver Twist?
Oh.
Oliver Twist, actually not a magician, surprisingly enough. I know we're all confused about that. All right, Joni, chance to steal.
Who is David Copperfield?
That's a little more like it. All right, question number four. Joni, starting with you on this one. Close-up magician Shin Lim originally studied music before focusing full-time on his magic career, which resulted in him gaining notoriety after winning the 13th season of this reality competition show.
America's Got Talent?
That is correct. Very good.
Good guess.
All right, Scott, got to get back into it a little bit here. Question number five. This UK-based mentalist faced controversy when during one of his television specials entitled The Push, he successfully convinced someone to push another person off a roof to their apparent death.
Oh, no. Who is Florida Man, like real actual Florida Man?
So two comments. Number one, we're not playing Jeopardy.
I just finished listening to Alex Trebek's book, which is why it's in my head.
All right, and number two.
And I watch Jeopardy daily, so.
Yeah, that's wrong. Joni, chance to steal.
I have no idea.
All right, well, all the UK cinephiles are going to be angry at you guys, because it's actually quite a well-known gentleman named Darren Brown. Darren Brown. A lot of stuff's on Netflix. Very interesting guy. Okay, finishing out topic, question number six. This goes to you first, Joni. This Canadian-born magician and escape artist devoted his life to debunking the paranormal, initially making a name for himself when he publicly challenged Uri Geller's claims of possessing legitimate psychic powers and eventually offered a $1 million prize to anyone who could prove him wrong.
I was really hoping this category was going to be about fictional wizards, and I think that's what Scott was hoping for, too. So I'm going to guess Ripley, as in believe it or not. I don't know.
Well, believe it or not, you are incorrect.
Scott, I figured.
Chance for you to steal. Save face a little bit with this category.
Oh, man.
Would you like me to repeat the question?
Yeah.
This Canadian-born magician and escape artist devoted his life to debunking claims of the paranormal, initially making a name for himself when he publicly challenged Uri Geller's claims of possessing legitimate psychic powers and eventually offered a $1 million prize to anyone who could prove him wrong.
No idea. I'm going to go with Houdini again, but I don't think that's it.
I'm sorry, no. This is a gentleman by the name of James Randi. James Randi, very interesting guy, just passed away. There's a great documentary about him. I recommend it. Joni taking the lead early on. And Joni, you have control of our next round one category. You can choose from Honey, I'm Holmes, or Trust Me, I'm a Fake Doctor.
Let's do Fake Doctors.
Trust Me, I'm a Fake Doctor. Six more questions. Here we go. All right, Joni. You up first on this one. Question number one. Hugh Laurie portrayed the titular role in this Fox medical mystery drama for 8 years that was partially inspired by Sherlock Holmes.
That would be House.
That's a little more like it. Very good. All right, question number two. Scott, Peter Davison, Matt Smith, and Jodie Whittaker are just a few of the actors who have starred in this famous series that's been broadcast across UK television screens for over 60 years.
Doctor Who is it? Oh, Doctor Who.
I think this category is a little bit better for you guys. There, Scott on the board now with a point is 4-1. Question number three goes to Joni. This 80s heartthrob had a career resurgence after he was cast as neurosurgeon Derek McDreamy Shepherd in the now long-running ABC series Grey's Anatomy.
That's Patrick Dempsey.
That is Patrick Dempsey. 3-3 so far with this category. Very nice, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, question number four. Michael Keaton was originally slated to play Dr. Jack Shepard on this ABC mystery drama, a role that eventually went to Matthew Fox.
Is it Bones?
It is not Bones. Joni, chance to steal.
That is Lost.
It is Lost. Very good steal. Joni now up 6-1. And you've got control. Question number five, Joni. Harrison Ford starred as Dr. Richard Kimball opposite Tommy Lee Jones in this 1993 thriller based on a 1960s TV series of the same name.
The Fugitive.
Such a good movie.
I love that.
I would have known that one.
Well, very good, Scott. You get bonus points in my heart for that, but not
that's all I need.
Okay, it is now 7-1. Joni with a commanding lead. Scott, let's pull back here a little bit. Question number six to you. After crashing his car in a small South Carolina town while on his way to Beverly Hills, Michael J. Fox, as Dr. Ben Stone, is sentenced to perform 32 hours of community service at the town's medical clinic in this 1991 romantic comedy.
It's something I have no idea about. I feel like Tom Cruise on this.
Hell, you're glib.
Yeah. I have no idea. Totally blank.
All right, Joni, chance of steal.
Can you repeat the question?
I certainly can. After crashing his car in a small South Carolina town while on his way to Beverly Hills, Michael J. Fox, as Dr. Ben Stone, is sentenced to perform 32 hours of community service at the town's medical clinic in this 1991 romantic comedy.
I'm not sure. The Family Stone? That's way late, though.
Maybe he was the lesser-known member of it, since he was
Dr.
Ben Stone. But no, that's actually a movie I remember seeing on TV a long time ago called Doc Hollywood. Doc Hollywood.
Oh.
He's going to be a big plastic surgeon, but then he finds love in small-town values.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is round one. And Joni off to a commanding lead, 7 points to Scott's 1 point. But this,
I just really like spotting you, Joni. Got to help you out.
All right, well, this is going to all change very, very soon. And what also is going to change is I'm going to put our contestants out of suspense. It's time to reveal the mystery topic of the week.
Every night, I dream the same dream. The nightmare begins. Things just got out of hand.
You break the rules.
Look out!
To become a hero. I do it, I become the enemy. Doesn't seem fair.
Fight!
We've gotten through the endgame, navigated the mirror dimension. Now it's time to jump through some parallel universes with the newest MCU entry, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So players, we have 8 questions all about the world of Doctor Strange. Questions get a little bit harder for round 2, but I've gotten a little help for you. We've activated 3 modifiers that you both have access to, the -1, the -2, and the +3. The -1 eliminates a question, replaces it with a brand new one. You'll never see it again. -2 gives you 2 possible guesses to the question. You must announce you're using the -2 before you answer it first. And +3 will give you 3 multiple choice answers to the questions. You can use the modifiers however you want to. Use them all in one question. Use none of them the whole round, but use them wisely. That could be the difference between winning and losing this game. For round 2, a correct answer gives you 2 points, and a steal gives you 1. Scott, since you're on the hot seat, we're going to start with you. Question number 1. Scott, hey. Doctor Strange officially introduced the concept of magic into the MCU. Its usage and execution were partially inspired by Stanley Kubrick, as well as this Japanese director and animation guru, the founder and driving force behind Studio Ghibli.
Is that Kurosawa?
That is not Kurosawa. Joni, chance to steal.
I'm not sure, actually. This is another one I'm going to know after you say it, unfortunately.
All right, not going to take a guess?
Well, no, I don't want to take a guess. I've got a lead. We're good.
All right. Joni, too confident at this point to guess. It is Hayao Miyazaki. Miyazaki, Studio Ghibli. All right.
Oh, right.
Moving on. Question number 2. Over to Joni. Though uncredited, one of the consultants on the original Doctor Strange film was Dan Harmon. Known to most as the creator of the television series Community, as well as this dimension-jumping animated show.
The Magic School Bus?
I personally would love to live in a world where Dan Harmon created the Magic School Bus. But unfortunately, that's incorrect. Scott, chance to steal.
I'm trying to think animated. It's not Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse because that's a movie, not a series. I don't know.
Oh, guys, one of my favorite shows, Rick and Morty. Creator of Rick and Morty. We're jumping through dimensions just like Doctor Strange. Moving on quickly. Going through this. Question number 3.
We're insulting him at every
one of really are.
All right, number 3. Back to you, Scott. There have been multiple attempts at doing a Doctor Strange film over the years previous to the creation of the MCU. Most famously by this Mexican-born, Oscar-winning director who was originally approached by Kevin Feige to helm the first film. You have your modifiers if you need them.
Yeah, the +3.
All right, we're going to activate the +3. Your options are Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, or Alejandro Iñárritu.
Del Toro, isn't it?
It certainly is. That's 2 points for Scott coming back. That's how you use the modifier. Good job. All right, Joni, number four. Benedict Cumberbatch originally turned down the role of Doctor Strange until the initial filming date was pushed back, citing his theatrical commitment, playing what titular Shakespeare role in London's West End?
Oh, I am fairly sure I know this one because I think I was there and missed tickets. He was playing Hamlet.
He was playing Hamlet. 2 points for Joni. Now we're getting into the swing things a little bit. Joni up 9 points to 3. Scott still need to make up some room here. What Disney film does cinematographer Ben Davis cite as a visual influence on the first Doctor Strange, saying it, quote, has a very psychedelic grounding, and most of the work is about other dimensions?
Alice in Wonderland.
Good guess, but incorrect. I am sorry.
Oh, my heart is broken.
Joni, chance to steal.
Can I have a multiple choice, please?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, Fantasia, Beauty and the Beast.
That would be Fantasia.
That would be Fantasia. 2 more points for Joni. Very good. Up 11 points to 3. Joni, one of the many relics shown in the Sanctum Sanctorum is a white mask with an Ankh next to it, which is a reference to what other MCU superhero?
Oh, Dark Knight. Moon Knight, sorry.
Someone's up on her Disney Plus shows. Moon Knight is correct. Very, very good. Scott, the folding replication and changes in orientation during many of the reality-twisting scenes in the first Doctor Strange were influenced by fractal geometric works of what mathematical painter? Question's getting a little bit harder the longer we go.
Can you do the replaced question on this one?
All right. We're going to activate that modifier, getting rid of that. Correct answer, by the way, M.C. Escher. M.C. Escher paintings. All right, your alternate question. Appearing in other forms of media, not simply comics, and Doctor Strange is always changing size is a line from the song Cymbeline by what psychedelic rock band?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd is correct, Scott. That is 2 more points to you. Joni, your final question of round two. The term Shambhala, which you might recognize as the Wi-Fi password Strange gets in the first film, is a reference to not only Shambhala Buddhism, but also a mythical hidden kingdom located in what region of East Asia?
Let's swap that one out. Let's do my one.
All right, alternate question. Joni, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko have said that they based Doctor Strange's appearance on what Hollywood actor, known most famously for horror roles in House of Wax and The Fly?
I'm not up on my horror films, unfortunately. I'm not sure.
All right, Scott, last chance to steal some points.
Vincent Price.
An extra point for Scott. Vincent Price is correct.
Yeah.
The answer to the question that we swapped out for Joni, by the way, is Tibet.
Region I was going to say that, too.
That Ooh, is yeah. Tibet. All right, Makes that sense. Brings us to the end of round two. Scott, you've narrowed the margin a little bit, but Joni still with a solid lead, 13 points to 6. As we move into the face-off. Your category, Benedict Cumberbatch filmography. So players, I'm looking for any feature film, according to IMDb, that Benedict Cumberbatch has had a credited role in other than ones where he played Dr. Stephen Strange. Cameo appearances in movies made for TV do not count, however, voice roles in feature films do. There are over 30 films that meet these criteria to choose from. Any credited feature film where Benedict Cumberbatch does not play Doctor Strange. Scott, we begin with you.
Desolation of Smaug.
I'll give it to you. One of the Hobbit films. I don't need the full title because I'm just that kind of guy.
You are. Thank you.
Joni.
Atonement.
Atonement is correct. Scott.
Imitation Game.
Very good.
My parents were telling me about one that he did where there were a bunch of cats, but I can't remember the title. So let's go with this is humiliating.
Just think about Benedict's dreamy eyes. Where have
you
seen him?
You're not seeing him in Hamlet.
I keep thinking of all the TV spots I've seen him in. Shoot. He was in Amazing Grace.
He was in Amazing Grace. Very good. Scott, back to you.
He was in Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Technically Star Trek Into Darkness, but I'll give it to you.
Into Darkness.
He was in... It was like Bridge of Spies, but it was British.
Understand, I cannot accept that as an answer, right?
Yeah. more recently, he was in The Power of Dog.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to say that one.
Joni was talking about The Courier.
Oh, right. Yes, I was.
Yes, she was. A solid face-off so far. Joni still with a 6-point lead, and we're back to you.
He was in 1917.
Very good. Scott, can keep it going.
Does Good Omens count?
That is not a feature film. I'm sorry. So with that, that ends the face-off because Joni ends up in the lead with 17 points, Scott with 10, a few others on the list. I find it interesting that Scott gave one of the three Hobbit films and no one else gave the other two because he's in all three of them. So that was kind of...
I thought that counted for all three. I don't get 3 points for that.
That was sort of for the taking, as they like to say in the business. Some other films on the list.
You were allowed to. That's so funny.
He was in 12 Years a Slave. He was in August, Osage County. He was in Black Mass. He was in Between Two Ferns, the movie. And yes, that does count. He was in The Grinch, The Fifth Estate, The Other Boleyn Girl, The Whistleblower, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, Warhorse, Wreckers, and, believe it or not, Zoolander 2. All those Benedict Cumberbatch roles. All right, so at the end of the face-off, Joni still with a solid lead, 17 to Scott's 10. And there's one more thing for these players to do, and it's called the hardest question in the world. So here's how the hardest question works. I'm going to read a single question that goes out to both players. Joni, since you're in the lead, you're in the driver's seat, my friend. This is all on you. You have a few options here. After I read the question, it is up to you what happens next. You can force Scott to have to answer it. If he does, he will have no help whatsoever, only his intellect, keen wit, and let's be fair, a little sneakery that we know he has in him to try to figure this out. If he gets the question correct, however, he wins the game. This wipes everything. That's the power of the hardest question in the world. He will win, and he will go up this month 1-0. However, if he's unable to do it, your score stands, and you've beaten him handily in this first match. However, if you think after hearing this question that he might have a shot of getting it, if you think this is right in his wheelhouse, this is a little factoid he may have heard somewhere along his travels, you can elect to answer the question yourself. And if you do, you'll get a little bit of a help because you're at the champion's advantage right now. You can activate a single modifier to help you. I don't know why anyone would swap the question. So let's just say you can choose to take two or to plus three it. And that way give you a little bit of extra assistance here. But the same stakes are in play. If you get it right, you maintain your win. But if you lose, you forfeit the game. And Scott is able to snatch that victory out from under you, which you know he'd love to do.
I do know he would love to do that.
So players, here's your question. One of Doctor Strange's recurring enemies is Mr. Rasputin, a fictionalized descendant of Grigori Rasputin, the famed Russian priest and mystic. In reality, Rasputin had three children. One of them, Maria, emigrated to France and then eventually to the U.S., where she worked several jobs, including this odd occupation that saw her working closely with animals. What was this job? So, Joni, what do you want to do?
I'm going to pass that on to Scott.
All right, Scott, sort of expected this. Hardest question in the world is on your shoulders. If you get this right, you have stolen the win, and you go up 1-0 for the month of May. But if you get it wrong, Joni's lead stands, and she will have beaten you 17-10.
Can you repeat just the last part about Marie? She moved to the U.S. and then what?
Maria emigrated to France and then eventually to the U.S., where she worked several jobs, including this odd occupation that saw her working closely with animals. What was this job?
Did she work in a slaughterhouse? Or as a butcher?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
So Maria came to France, then to the U.S., where she joined the circus and became a lion tamer. Congratulations, Joni.
And I learned something new. I had no idea that Rasputin produced Spawn. That's really unfortunate.
17-10, Joni's lead stands. Joni, you are a literal genius, at least when it comes to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Woohoo!
Good job, Joni.
Guys, you can check us out, literalgeniuspodcast.com. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/literalgeniuspodcast. All the tiers are there. You get a lot of cool stuff for becoming a patron, including at least one bonus episode a month. That's right. Only patrons get a bonus episode. You can join our Discord. You get to vote on show topics. And for other tiers out there, you can even select your own categories. Whatever you choose, we have to do it on the show. A lot of great information there. Your support of the show is always helpful. Never want you to donate if in any way it is a financial hardship. There are other ways you can support the show, like going to Apple Podcasts, giving us a good review or rating, and especially tell your trivia loving friends all about Literal Genius. You can check out Scott at the TYA Podcast. Where can they find that, Scott?
On all major streaming platforms, Podcast TYA, and on Twitter.
And Joni, where can people check you out?
You can find me on both Instagram and Twitter. My account is, they're both private because I'm job hunting right now in the post-grad school world. But if you want to see a bunch of pictures of my cat, you can find me on Instagram at Joni_Newman. And you can find me on Twitter at Joni M. Newman.
And you can find the three of us back here again next week as these two tackle even more trivia next time on Literal Genius.